up, everybody? Hey, it's the best show. What's going on tonight? My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the show, and we're going to have a great show tonight. How's everybody doing? Let's go. Let's just start, right? Right? Why are we waiting to start? Why? Why would we wait? Why would we wait to start? Let's just start. What if we just start? What do you think about that? How do you like them apples, right? If we just start? Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we will. The phone number 201-332-3484. That is the number to call and talk about stuff. And we are talking about belief and believing and all not believing and all that stuff. And we'll talk about all other things too. It's a wide open show tonight. Let's talk about all of it and have a nice time. And let's listen to the nice theme music and let's get the nice show going. It is time for the best show. Here we go. Best show time. Let's start that music. It's time for the best show. Show, what's up, everybody? How are you all doing tonight here on this first show of April 2018? How about that? How about that, Mike? Right? 2018, April 2018, it's here. It snowed yesterday. It's so dumb with the snow. It's not even like good snow now. Like it's gone in an hour. It's weird. Everybody panics. And it's like, it's going to go. It's going to wash away. Don't worry, my friends. It will wash away. My friends. Oh, what did we just hear? Superchunk from their new album. What a Time to Be Alive came out earlier this year. Picked a click. Top of the charts. The best of lists. 2018. It's already a lock for best of lists. Break the Glass is the name of that song. And that's on the album, What a Time to Be Alive. And that is on Merge Records. And Superchunk are playing in the tri-state area this week. And they are, you should see them. Check them out. Check them out. Yeah, where are they playing? Let me pull these dates up. Yeah, they're in Philly. They're in Philly tomorrow. Then they're at the Bowery Ballroom. They're in Boston in between those two dates. Yeah, don't miss them. And did I tell you that the phone number is 201-332-3484? That's the number to get in on the action. The lines actually two lines open. It's hurtful. When I see two lines open this early, I'm hurt. It hurts my feelings. Maybe it's over. Maybe the wave is cresting backwards. I don't know. Maybe it is. Best Show, hi.
Hello.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Teresa in Kentucky.
Teresa?
Yes, hello.
In Kentucky. Teresa in Kentucky, what's going on tonight?
There may be tornadoes to north and south of us.
Oh, no.
But I'm pretty sure there's a magic talisman protecting our house, so they'll go around and not through our stairwell.
Yeah, I hope you don't get... Hope nobody gets hit by the tornadoes. I'm not rooting for them to just miss you. I'm rooting for them to miss everybody.
Yeah. I do hope that they miss people north of us in Indiana and south of us in Bowling Green particularly.
Tornadoes. That's scary. What's the closest a tornado has come to you, Teresa?
About maybe half an hour away. Half an hour to an hour.
Could you feel it?
We're at the very end of Tornado Alley.
Now, could you feel the tornado? Could you feel the ground shake?
Oh, well, actually, wait. It probably is about half an hour because, like, a tornado totally demolished my high school in 2000.
Wow.
But I had already gone home for the day.
So you were in school, and then they're like, everybody get home.
Well, I just boarded the bus as normal, but people who stayed after school had to go to the lunchroom and get under the tables, and our front beautiful glass domed area window at the front of the school got shattered.
So the tornado, it got blown the school got trashed by the tornado.
Yeah, the place I ate lunch every day as a senior was like filled with broken glass and arches upended like U's.
Scary. Scary stuff. Weather is scary. Scary up here when you get these hurricanes rolling through. We get them up here. And they, and then the, like when the snow comes in super fast, and then this past a few weeks ago when the snow came in super fast, and then the trees were really heavy because they had snow on them so quickly. Now you got trees falling all over the place, and there's big trees getting knocked down by the snow.
Do you have to shovel your roof?
Do I have to shovel my roof? Snow? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. But my dog, generally, I let her up there, and she runs around and knocks enough of the snow loose that it is not a concern.
Cool.
Yeah. So, look, you stay safe. Watch out for this tornado.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd think maybe you wouldn't be calling a radio show. You'd be like, let me hide. Because there's a tornado coming.
Well, that's my aftershock anxiety, because like the TV said that it's fizzling out and it's not going to hit us.
Okay.
But it's springtime in Kentucky, and that basically means tornadoes. And so I always, after I've assessed what the risk really is, I have the aftershock freak out. Okay. Where I exaggerate how bad it is.
Anyway.
While thinking, well, it's really not that bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just stay safe. It's all that matters.
I sometimes believe in saying that things are worse than they are so that I'll feel better about them. Like, on the same note, always saying, I quit at my job, even though I'm not going to do that. That's uh-huh. not actually my current job. That's my old job.
All you want, and you just want to know, and this happens for me also, and it happens, people just want to know that they can quit the job, that it's an option, even if you're not gonna, you just want to know, yeah, I could quit the job.
Yeah, it's good to take the power back.
Yes, that's what you want. You just want a little bit of agency in your life. All right, Teresa, you stay safe.
You too.
Hey. Best show, hi.
Hi, this is Mary from Lansdale.
Mary from Lansdale. What's up, Mary?
Well, actually, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday. No. Why are you calling the show? Got one person hiding from a tornado. She's calling. You got your birthday. You're calling. Is this really this much fun to call? Is it?
I live a very boring life.
Sorry, so what do you do for your birthday, Mary? What do you do? You have a cupcake with a little candle in it?
Well, not exact. Well, I mean, I had like leftover birthday cake from like Sunday.
Okay.
But instead, I'm kind of like parlaying it into a week-long celebration because I'm going to two concerts this week.
So you're going, what concerts are you going to?
I'm seeing Superchunk tomorrow. So
yeah, very nice. That's in Philly.
Yes.
Okay.
Very, very, very excited.
Okay.
And I'm seeing Yo La Tengo. They're also playing Philly on Saturday.
Wow. Yeah. You should be excited. Those are two great bands. I didn't get a chance to listen to this new Yo La Tengo album. I can't wait.
Ah, it's great. I love it. And like the new Superchunk, I've listened to that record maybe like 20 times since I got it. I don't know why, but it's like my favorite. Well, I know why, but it is my favorite album that's come out in like 2 years.
That's great.
I'm glad
so this is your birthday celebration. So
yeah.
You're going to roll into the show, and you're still in birthday party mode, and then you're going to,
yep.
Right?
Exactly.
Good.
Just make it last.
Good for you. Good
Thank
for
you.
Thank
you. but I
and
have
happy
to
Happy birthday. Okay, go ahead.
You were talking about belief and things people believe.
Yeah. You kick it off for us.
Okay. This is, like, I'm totally going to get flack for this one on Twitter, probably, because it's extremely irrational.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. I know that tarot cards are complete bunk, right?
Okay.
But
I'm not going to
really...
say. I'm not going to say that. I don't want no the card chasing it. What would happen if I defied a tarot? What would happen with that?
Like
a chased by a demon.
A very angry fortune teller.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I know they're complete bunk, but I'm really good at doing readings.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
Well, so what I believe is it's okay to have two completely contradictory thoughts in your head at the same time as long as it's not really hurting anyone.
That's fair. You're allowed to try different things on for size and figure things out. You should always be questioning beliefs and be open to reinterpreting what you believe in and stuff. You can't just dig in on things and never change.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's okay to, you know, I have this irrational idea. It's probably silly. At least I can be aware that it's silly. But
all right, well, let's figure this out,
Mary.
Okay, here's where it is, Mary. It's the middle of the night. You're in the woods, right?
Uh-huh.
You got your tarot cards out, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a boombox, and it's playing the soundtrack to Halloween, right?
Yeah, all the hairs are going up.
Do you do a tarot card reading in that condition, in the woods, with the Halloween soundtrack playing?
That's the best condition to do it, because I will scare myself silly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's blood all over the cards, and you don't know where the blood came from.
Ooh.
What about that?
Well, sometimes you just got to roll with it.
Got to roll with it. You hear that, Mike?
Yeah.
Just roll with it. That's your problem. You know, just roll with it. And I'm going to say this. Mike, can you bring in that can that we talked about? All right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
All the best to you and yours in this holiday season. And I'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Mike. Now, Mike.
Yeah.
You turn the mic on first.
Which one?
I don't know. Just talk.
Okay. All right.
Now, Mike, you know the show. We ain't got no advertisers anymore, right?
No.
It's Patreon.
Yeah.
And that people go to patreon.com/thebestshow, and that's how they keep the show alive. You can contribute to the show however you can, whatever you can give, it helps keep the show going. And we've been doing the Patreon for over a year now. And I'm starting to see it's getting a little soft. I think people are starting to take it a little bit for granted and be like, oh, okay, I'll give money to whatever that Chop's Steakhouse, whatever it is. You ever see that podcast? It's like a political thing. I don't even know what it is. Trap House,
okay.
I thought it was Chop, whatever.
Uh-huh. You're up and coming?
It's up and coming. And I ran into the one dude who's rude to me at a thing. Just like, look, son, I've watched him come, I've watched him go.
Uh-huh.
They might be here for 100 years, who knows? But who knows? I don't know.
And what's the hook?
God bless them.
What's the hook of that
show?
They
moan about politics. I don't know what
it is. Boy.
Where else can you find that?
Yeah, where else can you find that?
Where else can you find that, right? Oh, you're moaning about politics?
Okay. Join the club.
Yeah.
That's what we needed, more.
We're zinging. I like this. We got a little teeth. We're showing our teeth a little bit more of that. But here's the thing. Because of the Chop Steakhouse podcast, Trap House... Which, look, again, maybe it's the best podcast ever. I never heard it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it sounds like. The one dude was not super, super polite to me at the thing I met him at.
Uh-huh.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe he was having a bad night. Who knows?
What happened? Did a head nod go unacknowledged?
He made some comment that I think he just didn't land a joke or something. Uh-huh. God bless him. God bless him. God bless him all.
Uh-huh.
So... this patreon.com/thebestshow. That's how you support the show. That's how we keep the budget for the show going. And we give things for different increments. and we can keep all the equipment and all the what it means to broadcast live every week and all that stuff. And yes, it means that there's some snacks here in studio, yep. But it went a little soft the last couple months. People need to go over and just make sure if you're listening to the show and you enjoy it, give anything what you can. I appreciate all of it. It keeps this thing going. But you might notice, Mike, usually in the refrigerator you got your Coors Light there, right?
Yeah.
A little different tonight, right?
Yeah.
What's in your hand now?
I've got something called Kirkland Light.
Yeah, Kirkland Light. No more Coors Light until these numbers go up, Mike.
Refreshing lager.
Kirkland Light, that's a Costco brand beer now. We're switching to Kirkland Light for you now.
And the design looks vaguely familiar.
Yeah. It's a silver...
It's a silver can.
Yeah.
With a mountain range.
Mm-hmm.
But from a long distance shot rather than a medium shot on...
They couldn't even get close enough with the picture of the mountain.
I'm sure lawyers must have picked over it to see... Yeah. What's, not liable.
Why don't you crack that Kirkland Light open and let us know. This is the new, look, I bring my own drinks and things here. I bring them from home. I pay for that. I just try to keep these clods happy because God knows I'll hear about it all day long.
Oh, man. It is, not good. Not good at all. Yeah. Listen, I'm used to drinking swill,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't claim that Coors Light is a superior beer.
Yeah.
I drink it because it's quantity over quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think I could, well.
How is it?
It's very unpleasant. It's like.
Dudio's drinking one now. Dudio's drinking one of your Kirkland Lights.
Is he making a face?
It's a very weird taste.
Yeah, it's got a weird. Not particularly beer-like taste. Mm-hmm. It's got a weird aftertaste.
Okay.
Well,
you better hope these numbers go up on the Patreon. Because after this, we're going to Price Club.
Yeah.
See what kind of beer they have at Price Club. Kirkland Light.
Yeah. No. It's weird. It's got a weird. I'm looking for the ingredients.
Yeah, they probably don't know. Probably varies from can to can.
Uh-huh.
This can may include.
Yeah. Well, I'll buckle down. I want to keep the show afloat.
Yeah.
And if it means drinking swill, like Kirkland Light, I'll make the sacrifice, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
What's the alcohol percentage on Coors?
It's low.
So it's probably 4.2 as well?
This is 4.2%?
Yeah.
That sounds high, actually.
Great.
I mean.
This guy's going to drink his Kirkland Light, get rowdy. He's going to be mad because it tastes terrible, and he's going to be rowdy. Because the face Mike is making drinking this Kirkland Light is bad.
Yeah, it's. I don't think I've ever tasted a beer with this particular taste.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah,
it's Kirkland Light from here on out, Mike.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Get out.
Get out.
Yeah, and look, we're gonna tighten the belts a little bit. It's no more Coors Light. It's Kirkland Light. Look, I'm exaggerating things a little bit here, but it's Kirkland Light. I think I just wanted to see him drink Kirkland Light because I went to Costco to load up for stuff because God knows if I don't bring food in here and have just snacks on hand, then it's a riot goes on in here. The looks I get, and I'm telling all three of you right now. Yeah, you open a thing of peanut butter pretzel things. You tighten that lid. You tighten it. You don't just give it a cursory. If you guys were in your own house, you'd tighten that thing. I know that. Here, leave it half open. And there's cans. I go out there, there's cans laying everywhere. Like, what is this, a frat house? These guys are running this like it's a frat house out there. Right? It's not a Delta house, guys. But all kidding aside. The Patreon is what keeps the show going. And anything you can do, we always appreciate. So thank you very much. And we send things out. If different levels, you get access to audio and things like that that you don't get anywhere. We're going to start in a couple weeks. Bonus episodes of the best show that you can only get on the Patreon will never be available off the Patreon. Start recording those soon. The other thing, the Friends podcast goes up there first. Meet My Friends of Friends, which there's more coming next week. For that, and we're going to figure a thing out. That's another thing we'll send. We sent Friends of Tom cards out to people a few months ago who had pledged at a certain level. And we'll do the same thing in a month or so. We'll figure out what we're going to send out to people. Keep everybody, you get stuff back for your contributions. And we appreciate it. Patreon.com/TheBestShow. Best Show, hi.
Which there's more coming.
Hello, hi.
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 It's Dust.
Who?
Dust.
Dust?
Gus.
Gus.
G-U-S.
Your name is Gus.
Yeah, I've called before.
Yeah, what's up, Gus?
How you living?
How am I living?
Yeah.
I'm doing all right, Gus. You know how it goes,
good.
Gus, right?
Mm-hmm.
SSDD, man.
I'm in sixth grade now, so
that's cool.
Start.
Yeah. You a tough guy at your school?
No.
Good. That was a trick question. I wanted to make sure you said no. Just be a good guy, right? You're normal. You're not walking around like no tough guy.
That's a lot of other people.
Yeah, not you though, right?
What?
Not you.
Not me.
Good. That's what I want to hear. I'm not here to encourage you to be no tough guy.
I grew out of my old weird Pokemon phase.
You're out of your Pokemon phase.
Yeah.
Okay, what phase are you in now?
Not really anything. I play guitar a lot.
Okay.
I'm going to give something for the topic of what I believe in.
Yeah, what kind of guitar, what kind of songs you play on guitar?
I can play Back in Black.
Bonk.
Submission of My Army.
Ba-na-na-na-na,
I'm named after.
Right?
Ba-na-na-na-na. Yeah. I'm named after Angus Young from AC/DC.
You like Angus Young?
I'm named after Angus Young.
You're named after him?
Uh-huh.
Ah, so that's where Gus comes from.
Well, my name's Angus, but I go by Gus.
Cool. You're not a Gustav.
Nah.
All right. Glad to hear it, my friend. So what do you want to talk about? What are the things you believe, young man?
I believe that the one and only Jambi the Genie created mankind.
From Pee Wee Herman?
Pee Wee's Playhouse, yeah.
Uh-huh. You believe that? Hey?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually a joke I made, but I went ahead and got the Bible and replaced and like changed it to make it sound like Jambi the Genie wrote it. And that took a while.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. What did you do? You physically did this in a Bible?
No, I got a PDF of the Bible and copied and pasted into Google Doc.
Okay. So that took a while. That seems like it went from taking a long time to not taking much time at all.
Well, no, I got to copy and paste the Bible, but then replace everything in it.
Well, look. So you're a mischief maker, right?
Perhaps.
So what other bands do you like to play on your guitar?
I hope the Seven is the Army by the White Stripes.
Boom, doom, 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 doom.
Yeah, that boom. One.
Go get your guitar. Let's do it right now. I'll sing it. Go get your guitar.
I don't know if the thing will pick it up, though.
Yeah, well, let's find out.
I'll go get it. It's an electric, so it's not plugged up to an amp.
All right, but put it right next to the phone. But make it so I can hear the guitar, but I can. Let's do it.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna.
All right, go get it.
Go get it.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, quickly, go get the guitar.
Yeah, go get it.
No.
Yeah, right. What are they waiting for, Gus?
Go get it now.
Yeah, go get it. Who's that? Who's that? Your father?
My dad's about to go get it.
Say this to your father. Go get it, boy.
While you're waiting, I'll use a pan, you know.
You use a banjo? No, let's wait for the guitar.
Okay.
Your dad cool?
Yeah.
Did they ever take you to see rock shows?
My uncle took me to see the They Might Be Giants.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was really fun. It was my first concert. I want to see Polaris, though. They played in my town of Athens once, but I didn't get to see them.
Who do you want to see?
Polaris. It's the band that did the Pete and Pete theme song.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So you're a big fan of Pete and Pete, and They Might Be Giants. I think I'm getting a handle on Dad's aesthetic. What's Dad's deal? Dad from a rock band?
What?
Was Dad in a rock band?
My dad, when he was, my age, was in a rap band.
In a lap band?
A rap. Rap.
L-A-P. R-A-P. So your dad got lap band surgery?
R-A-P.
R-A-P.
Okay, I got my guitar.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Okay, hold on. Let me just get situated. Yeah.
Come on, get that thing set up. What's your dad waiting for? Come. Yeah, there you go. I love it. Sounds good, Gus. Hey, Gus.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Not too shabby. All right, you have a great night.
See ya.
Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom. This is Ben in Portland.
Ben in Portland. What's up, Ben?
Hey, I just wanted to congratulate you for singing on the number one vinyl record in the country.
Thank you very much, the Steven Universe soundtrack.
Yeah, I got the vinyl in the mail the other day. It sounds great.
I got to get it. I didn't have it yet.
You don't get one?
I'll get one at some point.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's great. Ever since that Rebecca Sugar episode, I went and watched all the seasons on Hulu, and it's a great show.
It is. I know. I'm very proud to be on it.
Yeah, it's amazing how much emotion she can pack into, 10 minutes. It's insane.
It is nuts. It's a very grounded, for a show that's as fantastic as it is in terms of the scope and the world it exists within, it also is very grounded.
Yeah, and I started over watching it with my girlfriend, mm-hmm. and I kind of realized how little you know about the world from the outset. She just kind of gradually introduces all these things that make it more intricate.
That's what somebody who knows what they're doing can do.
True. I had a question. What of the songs you sang on there, is there one that stood out as particularly difficult to sing, or one that stood out as particularly just kind of fun and easy to get through?
Fun? No, none of them are fun or easy to get through. But what was the first part of that?
Is there one you remember being particularly difficult?
Yeah, the one, the Comet. Comet was hard.
Oh, yeah, because that's a full length. That's a full song.
That was hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think you'll have her back on the show? Because I have so many questions for her.
Sure. She can come anytime she's in the area. She knows she can come here anytime.
That's awesome.
Well, what question do you have? Give me one of the questions.
So, well, I have something for the topic about believing in.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, this is something really dumb I believed about The Best Show. I came to it from Mark and Tom show, the Mark Maron stuff
he
did.
There's things where Mark Maron and I would do a two-person show, yeah.
Yeah. And so I came to it after it was a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I've since gone back and listened to the archives and stuff.
Okay.
But on the podcast, the music fades out, you know. And I don't really know indie rock that well.
Okay.
So initially when I started listening to the show, I thought that you were making up, I believed that you were making up all the bands.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I get that now. But for a while, like, I thought all the music was fictional because I didn't know a lot of these bands.
So you believed that, and then what point did you realize that wasn't the case?
I think it was when you were talking about Lou Reed.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, wait, this is stuff that's this is real.
What's your favorite Lou Reed song? You can say it. Come on.
Satellite of Love.
Man, that's wrong.
What's yours?
Mike, it's not even a question. Mike, what's the best Lou Reed song? We all know it, right? Not Velvet Underground, Lou Reed. Yeah, not Velvet Underground. No, that's Velvet Underground. Oh, get out. Like this Kirkland light is going to Mike's head. How you feeling with that Kirkland light now? Yeah, is it making you queasy? All right. He said he's going to throw up. It's Street Hassle. Come on, guys. Tighten it up. All right, young man. You call anytime you want.
All right.
Bun, 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 dun, 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 Mike's back from Mike, Sweet Jane. So not Velvet Underground. Sweet Jane. Version on his first album. I gotta throw this guy out of here. Throw him out. Pat, throw him out. It's not called Take a Walk on the Wild Side. So your favorite, you're really going out on a limb there. Your favorite Lou Reed song is Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Phone number 201-332-3484. Nobody's calling. Maybe this second iteration of the show has receded. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not even saying it in a negative way anymore. I don't care. Do it. We do it. And then we don't do it. It's fine. I'm honestly, this is a no judgment thing. I'm not being a whiny Tom. Anything? Okay, it's fine. It's plenty to talk about. For example, you know those posters Neil Numberman did? He did a poster of everything that happened on The Best Show in 2017, of all the guests and everybody who had come in. Made their contribution to the show. He designed he did a beautiful illustration, and put it up online a few months ago. And he has done some posters of them that he is not, they're not for sale. But you know where you can get them? If you're in New York, at the MoCA, M-O-C-C-A, what does that stand for? I don't know what it stands for. Comic, one of the C's has to be comics, right? I don't know. But it's the 7th and 8th this week. This week. Saturday and Sunday. He's going to be there. He has a table set up, and he's going to give the Best Show retrospective posters out for free. They're 15 by 24, and they look amazing. I've seen them. I have some. They are beautiful. And the only way to get them, go to his table at the MoCA Arts Festival in New York City, April 7th and 8th at the Metropolitan West, which is at 639 West 46th Street between 11th and 12th Avenue, this weekend. They're not going to be on display, but you have to find Neil Numberman at his table, and you use the password toilet car, and you'll get a free print. They're not going to be on display. If you see him there, you're not going to see those posters. So you got to go up to him. You go up to Neil, who's a very talented artist. You can buy other things at his table, and you can check his stuff out at neilnumberman.com, and it's neilnumberman.com. And you say toilet car, and then he'll pull one of the posters out. It's the only way to get one. Don't miss your chance. So go get a Neil Numberman poster at MoCA this weekend. And the number 201-332-3484. Couple calls coming in now. It's a picture of Mike with the Kirkland light. Best Show, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Annie in Kansas City. I'm kind of nervous. I haven't called in a long time.
Annie, you relax. Yeah. Just relax.
You got it.
So what's new in Kansas City?
Oh, man. Well, KU just lost in the Final Four.
That's right.
But whatever. I know you probably don't like college basketball.
I don't.
I know.
It's poorly played.
I know.
Who'd they lose to?
Villanova, who ended up winning it all.
I watched a lot of that game last night. That was one of the worst games I ever saw in my life.
I know.
These kids. Whenever I see college sports, all I think is, isn't there like some race, some education race where we're like lagging behind as a country? I'm not even talking about the athletes. I'm talking about the 70,000 people in the stands. Why don't you kids all go and get in class? Right? Why aren't you kids in class? It's one thing. I'm telling you, there's 12 athletes on the floor. That's fine. That's 12. The 70,000 who could be hitting the books. And then they can't make baskets to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I like pro basketball when the people are there because they are the best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see some kid out on the floor who is going to be in a law office next year, right?
Yeah,
that's all.
I agree. I hear you.
That's all. But look, if people enjoy it, I understand why they enjoy it. It just feels like a big bummer to me. It feels like these kids, when everybody's like, oh, they should pay, why don't they pay college athletes. And I'm like, yeah, they should pay him. And then you watch a game like that last night. You're like, wait, who wants him? This is supposed to be the best two teams in the country. And these kids can't make a basket. I don't want to. These kids shouldn't get paid. Everybody, what'd they go, 9% from the field last night? Both teams?
Yeah, it's rough to watch a basketball ding off the scoreboard or, you know, the net over and over.
They should just make the basket really huge. They should just make the basket, like, literally 10 feet around. Like, make it as if you're at a, like the kind of thing that would be like that at a trampoline park that you could bounce through. Like you could jump, jump up and then
a big hula hoop.
Yeah, like a big hula hoop. Make it like a big hula hoop for these kids.
The streamers.
Yeah, and exactly. And the first basket wins the game.
Done. We're done.
Yeah. All right, everybody, back to the library. So what's going on tonight? What are you up to?
I'm writing some postcards. And
why postcard? What's the occasion?
I'm part of this website that sends postcards around the world, and I'm a preschool teacher. So sometimes I write them so that we can get people to write back to us and stuff.
Well, that's cool.
Thanks.
How far out have you gotten postcards back from?
Taiwan.
Okay.
Nice. Australia. The Netherlands are probably, I don't know, the most, like, postcard-crazy nation in the world. Like, they're all about sending things through the mail. They love it.
They love sending their mail. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Cute.
And do the kids have any kind of concept of these postcards, what it means or doesn't mean?
They really don't. They really don't at all. But I do like trying to foster some kind of, worldliness or, like, idea that there are people like you somewhere else. But, no, it's completely foreign to them. It could be from across the street. They really have no concept.
Yeah. They have no idea. But you know what? You're trying. You're doing your part.
Thanks.
You're doing your part. So what brought you to the show tonight? What made you call?
Well, I haven't called in a long time, and I heard that people weren't calling. I thought that was garbage. So, I wanted to call about the topic, and this is kind of a rough concept in my brain, but I'd like to argue, I believe that the books you read when you were a kid that you remember and you love as an adult are great and perfect in a way, but the movies you loved when you were a kid don't always follow that same pathway.
Like what would be examples of both?
See, the thing is yeah, I mean, I could maybe it's just for me that's a truism, but for others it could be different. Sure. For me, I'm remembering like Maury Sendak books, which were really bizarre and dark and had like Carole King songs for some of them written for them, which I think are still great.
Now, a Maury Sendak book is that one where it's like, I'm falling off a cliff. What's that one called?
I don't know. Are you thinking of Shel Silverstein?
Where the sidewalk ends.
Yeah, that's Shel Silverstein. Yeah, but I like those very much.
Well, what's a Maury Sendak book that's like a big one that...
His most famous is Where the Wild Things Are. That's not really my favorite.
Yes, that's...
I like Alligators All Around and Chicken Soup with Rice is my favorite. And then there's one In the Night Kitchen that has this little boy running around. And it's actually banned in some places because the little boy's naked and you can see his little cheeks. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I mentioned that.
our friend of the show, Lance Bangs, did a nice documentary about Maury Sendak.
Neat.
Yes, when that movie had come out. Mm-hmm. Right, what was that movie called again? Where the Wild Things Are. Right? Because he interviewed Maury Sendak a bunch, and it's a very good movie. You should check it out if you can see it. And, yeah, so that still holds up for you, those books. But, like, what's a movie that doesn't hold up anymore for you? Goonies?
Like Three Ninjas?
Three Ninjas.
Remember that piece of trash?
Yeah, it was a piece of trash back then, though.
I know, but when you're a child, sometimes you just... That's. I think that's kind of the logic I'm working with.
But
the Goonies, I never...
When I was a kid and I'd see certain things, I'd be like, yeah, that's terrible, but it was... I even, you know, like Goonies. I remember seeing Goonies. It's just like, yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, I can... Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to think of something when I was a child that I would think, this is a movie that's actually all right. And then when I was older, it was pretty terrible.
I remember seeing that movie. You know, it's a movie I can't stand that so many people love is movie Spaceballs. Right? Is this Mel... What was his name again?
Mel Tillis?
Mel Brooks. He did this thing, Spaceballs. And he had done these things like Young Frankenstein, where it's clear he loved Frankenstein so much in the Universal horror movies and had seen them 100 times before the chance to make Young Frankenstein had even come his way. So there was such a love for it. He didn't love Star Wars. Mel Brooks. He didn't love it. He probably, when he got the chance to do this thing, he's like, all right, you know, let me go see Star Wars now for a second time. Like, and he's watching it for work purposes.
He's got a legal pad taking notes.
Yeah. I remember seeing it, and I was like, watching it, and it's like, and I remember like leaving the theater and like trying to convince myself that I loved it because it made fun of something I liked, Star Wars, and I was just like, yeah, it's really funny, and it's the, and then like the next day, I'm just like, yeah, that sucked. That movie sucked. I got to admit, it sucked. It's weird. But as a kid, so Three Ninjas, but you didn't think Three Ninjas was like, this is a masterpiece.
No, of course I didn't. I guess I'm struggling for the second half of my theory.
Well, what's something that you've gone back and seen as an adult and you were stunned by how it had aged?
Gee, something like Fernvale? Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, you're watching a lot of low-grade movies there. You're watching the cheap stuff. Fern Gully.
Well, gee, I mean, My Girl, is that still pretty
My Girl?
I mean, I wasn't watching Cinema Paradiso when I was
That's
six.
The one where Macaulay Culkin gets attacked by bees?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess I'm really struggling to think of cinematic treasure I watched when I was a child.
Well, you can piece it. You can piece one together. You can figure it.
I'll work on it. Yeah.
Well, go finish those postcards.
You got it. Thanks
All right.
for talking.
Have a great night. Bye. Yeah, I don't know. These movies, man. Fern Gully. I remember I saw so many movies as a kid. And I just remember being like, it stinks. Yeah, I thought, like, I remember thinking Goonies sucked. And, what are some other movies that came out then? Yeah, I don't know. I just would see movies all the time, though. That's all I did. Tron. I saw Tron so many times. I rode my bike to the theater to see Tron. I was playing it, like, a mile away from my house. And this was like well into Tron's like run. There was this movie theater that was falling apart near my house, and I would ride my bike to go see Tron, like a 7 o'clock show of Tron every night. I'd just see it every night. Just sit in the theater and watch Tron every night. And the theater was falling apart. I swear to you, Mike, I swear to you, I brought a pillow to the theater, right? Because the seats were so uncomfortable. I would ride on my bike with a pillow to the movie theater. One for Tron, please. I'm walking into the theater with a pillow to sit on. And I'm watching Tron. And then as an adult, I go back and see Tron. I'm like, it's the worst thing I ever saw in my life. This cheap Star Wars knockoff. Like, how did that one get past me? How was I not enraged by how lousy Tron was? Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's John in Lawrenceville.
John in Lawrenceville. I know this guy. What's up?
Well, this is not 100% something I believe, and it's more of a question, but it is tied to something you've just been talking about.
Tron.
Not exactly Tron, but have you been to the movies recently?
Yeah.
I was surprised I haven't heard this discussed on the show yet, but have you seen the Uncle Drew trailer?
Hold on. Uncle Drew, the basketball thing?
Yes.
Now, which one? Who's Uncle Drew under all that? Because there's one where a guy's in makeup playing. Who is that?
It's Kyrie.
It's Kyrie Irving. That's right.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is something I believe. I believe some movies are Oscar bait, mm-hmm. but I think this movie might be Sharpling bait.
Wait, there's an Uncle Drew movie.
Oh, yes.
Hold on. No, I know nothing about this. How did this elude me? Hold on. Uncle. I was so caught up today watching the trailer for, I was watching the trailer. It's made, uploaded by Zero Media. Is that the, wait, hold on. Wait, wait, Uncle Drew. Hold on a second. Mike, why don't you tell me about this? You weren't aware. Okay, that's a demerit for you. Mike's Google. Okay. Well, at least you're Googling it now. Okay, so Uncle Drew. So this is Kyrie Irving, basketball star Kyrie Irving. Fragile basketball star Kyrie Irving, he's an exciting player who's half flesh and bone and half glass. And he has decided to make a movie.
Yeah, it's not just Kyrie Irving.
Hold on. So, yeah, so I'm seeing this. How did I miss this? Oh, my goodness. This is as made for me as possible. Because it's like him dressing up in old man makeup. It looks like Dirty Grandpa. Like when Johnny Knoxville put the Dirty Grandpa makeup on. Except it's Kyrie Irving now. So it's this basketball player, and it's a movie where he's going around. And
putting the team back together to win a tournament at Rucker Park. I'll do it on one condition. Anything you want. And who's in the team?
Okay. Let me see if I can guess who's in the team. I mean, I see Shaq's name is also in the thing here.
Yep.
So Shaq is... Shaq can bring the icy hot. And so that means if Shaq's on the team, then the general is clearly playing, right?
If by the general you mean Nate Robinson, then yes.
No, by the general I mean the guy from the military man from the insurance commercials.
The mustachioed gentleman?
Yes. I'm telling you, if I ever got, God forbid I get in a car accident. If somebody ever rear-ended me in my car, I get out and I see we go to exchange insurance and it says the general on their thing. I'm just like, yeah, okay. I guess I'm paying for this, accident. Can you imagine? Oh, hey, we got in an accident. Let's exchange insurance information. And they take out an insurance card and it says the general on it. Yeah, then you're in trouble. I'll be paying their deductible somehow. So, okay, so he's putting the team together. This seems like... So it's Kyrie Irving. Boys. This summer.
Are you blind?
So who's on the team? So there's Shaq.
You got Kyrie. Shaq's, you got Shaq.
Yeah.
You have Reggie Miller, but he's blind.
There's Shaq. There's Chris Webber.
As a minister.
Ugh. He put your baby behind his back. You let this man... Does Chris
Nate
Webber,
Robinson in... There might be a dance number with all of them. I'm not quite sure.
Is Chris Webber in any way besmirching someone who gave neighborhood kids money during the... when they were coming up playing for the college that they were...
No, but he does Steph Curry a baby behind his back before he baptizes him.
Reggie Miller. Okay, so yeah, Nate Robinson. There he is. So they're just making them all, like, weird looking. Like, this is like...
Yeah.
It's like...
They're all olded out.
And with Tiffany Haddish is in this thing. Why?
Why'd you didn't even mention this? Lisa Leslie wielding a baseball bat.
But look, Lisa Leslie doesn't have... Lisa Leslie don't have no better movie options. Tiffany Haddish doesn't have to be in this thing. She's funny.
And who's the villain?
Hold on. Let me... This villain. Let me... I don't know who the villain is. Let me see if I can guess who the villain is. I'm going to ask you questions. For this movie, Uncle Drew, which John is telling me about here, this movie, Uncle Drew, which stars a bunch of mid-tier basketball players, all in old people makeup. And also looking like old people that aren't, like, around anymore. Like, this is not even what old people currently look like. Old people currently, like, walk around wearing, like, sweat, like, track suits and stuff. They don't look like this. So, the villain for this movie is who? Let me see. Is it a former athlete?
No.
Is it Rob Riggle?
No, but that's sort of in the right direction.
Is Rob Riggle in this?
Not to the best of my... He's not in the trailer.
How? But I'm sure by osmosis he's in this thing. Like, just the gravitational pull brought him on the set. He was sitting at home eating, and suddenly his chair started sliding, and he got pulled onto the set of the movie. Pow! Wait, where am I going? I'm on the set of what? Uncle Drew? Pow! Okay. So is it a comedian?
Yes.
It's not Kevin Hart.
It is not Kevin Hart.
Because I was watching... Look, I was watching the trailer for this movie, Night School, today. Which
Rob Riggle is in.
Which Rob Riggle was in that. I think he was just sitting in there and they were filming a movie. He saw like a truck out front and just walks in and sits down. But yeah, I was watching this thing with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. And then I'm like, oh, like Rob Riggle's in this thing too? What this guy got money problems? He's in everything. He's going to be in the football games next season. So give me a hint for who the villain in this thing is.
He may have been on a past Best Show.
Jerry Ferrara?
No.
Andrew W.K.?
No.
Kevin Smith?
No.
Paul Scheer?
At least someone who was on a television show with him has been on the Best Show. I know that much.
Someone who's been on a television show with this guy.
Yep.
Who? Kevin Corrigan? Kevin Corrigan's not the villain in this thing.
You know, maybe he wasn't on the Best Show in the past.
Please don't tell me who, Michael Rapaport?
No, that would be fantastic casting, but not a comedian.
I just worked with that guy. Can't talk about it. So I spent the day with him. Let me think. The villain. Is he fun? Do I like this villain, this actor? In your estimation.
I'm going to say I think you do. His character's name is Mookie.
Chris Kattan?
No, but I would say someone who is Kattan-esque at times.
Someone who's Kattan-esque. Martin Short?
No.
Is it an SNL person?
No.
Tim Allen?
No.
Not Roseanne Barr?
No.
Anybody see this Roseanne Barr? The show Roseanne's getting huge ratings now. Huge ratings. Now people know they're watching now. Yeah. Don't tell me. I'm going to guess this. If we're on the phone all night, I'm getting this. Let me think. Funny person.
Yes.
J.B. Smoove?
J.B. Smoove is in the movie. I'm looking at the IMDb right now, but not the villain, I don't believe.
Larry David?
No, it's someone I get. He's on. He seems to be the only person we see in the trailer from the rival basketball team.
Michael Richards.
Shorter.
Shorter than Jason Alexander.
Taller?
Is there a Seinfeld Newman? It's not Newman, is it?
No. I don't believe there's a Seinfeld connection.
Okay. How far? What's the closest name I've said?
I think in a weird way, Chris Kattan. But that might be throwing you off.
Not that kid who played Bubble Boy.
No, no.
Not Jake Gyllenhaal. All right, give me a hint, please. Please, just give me a hint.
I think multiple people in his orbit have been on The Best Show.
Multiple people in his orbit. No music connection, though, with this person.
No.
Who plays the villain in the movie Uncle Drew. Not what's-his-face. Rob Hubel.
No. But that's, again, that you're getting closer.
Jack McBrayer?
No. All these right. would all be fantastic.
Who is it? I'm never going to get it. I'm never going to get
the team.
It. Should I just watch the trailer and see who it is?
Just watch the trailer.
Oh, he's been on. He's become one's enemy. Yeah, okay. It's Nick Kroll. Okay.
Nick Kroll.
Yeah, he's been in a music video I did.
And now he's one of the stars.
Of Uncle Drew.
Of Uncle Drew.
Okay. Well, I'm going to soften my stance on Uncle Drew now. He's kind of got a Darren Williams look going for this. That college basketball game. Now, you're a college basketball aficionado, right?
I'm sort of a lapsed college basketball fan, but I did watch a lot of the tournament this year.
Yeah. That game last night, that's not a good representation of college basketball.
I think it's, if you look at the game a year ago, where both teams were completely exhausted, I thought it was a much better game than a year ago, where I think you said a lot of the same things you said the best show after the championship game.
That I said last year. Also, and I'm just, so I probably say the same things every year about college basketball.
But, well, let me ask you this then, before I go. Yeah. Give me an NBA team to start following now that the playoffs are coming up.
I would say you can watch, if you want to have a fun team to watch, could be the Toronto Raptors could be fun to watch.
We the North.
Yes, even though they're not the most northernmost team, I think they could be fun if they can get over. They've always had the yips when the playoffs come around. It'll be interesting to see because they're having such a good year if they can finally move past their past difficulties.
Excellent.
Yeah?
Go Raptors.
Go Raptors. All right, John.
Well, I think that's all I've got, Tom.
Uncle Drew, thank you so much.
I'll see you opening night.
See? Yes. Mike.
All right.
Mike wants to know if I watched the women's final game. I saw the highlights of it. That was exciting. That was like a buzzer beater. The same player hit two buzzer beaters in two consecutive games. Which is very impressive. Should have stuck with the ladies game. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is James from Chicago.
James from Chicago. What's up, James?
I had one for the topic.
The topic, by the way, we're talking about belief. The things you believe and the things you used to believe or the things you don't believe that maybe you did believe or vice versa. What do you have, my friend?
So there was a
e-cigarettes
time
for legs, huh? Gotcha. Book it. I got him. We got him. We got him. No, go ahead.
So there was a time that I was quite gullible. This was a time that was maybe 7-8 years ago. And I have an older brother who has kind of showed me the way with music and art and a lot of things. And so he would take advantage of me being gullible. And he had convinced me that Werner Herzog had done a Nelly biopic.
You mean in the rapper Nelly?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
When I say biopic, does that make me sound dumb? Because this guy says biopic. And I've known a few other people who said biopic.
I say biopic.
Why do you say biopic, James? Did you order food?
I don't really know. It's just a syllable difference.
But doesn't it seem like you want to reduce it to the elements, which is bio, like biography?
Like, yeah, I don't. Maybe I just think that saying biopic sounds smarter.
Well, it probably does sound smarter, but it also makes it sound like you're an egghead.
I might be.
Makes it sound like you're begging for a swirly. Right, Mike? This is the kind of guy in your high school you would have given a swirly to.
This is why
you never get a bang out and swirly, your head don't come back. Goes in the turlet, and it stays in the turlet.
This is why I believe that Werner Herzog did a Nelly biopic.
So your brother tells you that, and you are just like, what era are we talking for Nelly? We're just talking about just like straight top of the charts Nelly?
No, so this was maybe like 6-7 years ago, so it was kind of just after he had kind of faded from the scene, and Werner Herzog was sort of popular at the time, and he sort of took advantage because I believed everything that he would tell me, and he was like, you would never believe, like, Werner Herzog is doing this Nelly biopic.
Uh-huh, like, biopic. Stop it, egghead.
But yeah, so that was just an example of something that I believe that was sort of ludicrous, and I'm sort of embarrassed to say that I was in my 20s when I believed that.
Well, look, your brother seems like a fibber who should be ashamed of himself for being sneaky. That's not on you. It's not your fault your brother's a dirty liar, right?
He's also the person that showed me the best show.
Well, then he's all right. I'll ease up on him. And I'm looking here, and my friend Hannah on Twitter says exactly what I was about to say to you. That it sounds like people say it like they're saying bionic, and that always throws me too.
That might just be my like nasally Midwestern accent.
Yeah. So yeah, but the thing is, you can in some way, and I guess your brother must have picked up on this. There's some world where Werner Herzog would just knock out a Nelly move, a Nelly biopic real fast, and then just like be like, I was filming the Nelly biopic, then I went to shoot Rescue Dawn, and then I did a documentary about volcanoes. Like, I could see that.
That was my headspace.
There's some version of that. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Yeah, man, the things you believe. I remember when I was a kid, there was this one group, and they... It's one of those shameful things when you're just like, and this is one of the things you hope you get better as you get older. Like when I was in like, I guess it was high school. It's probably like freshman or sophomore year of high school. It's like, I remember everybody like tricked this one kid into thinking there's a video game at the bowling alley that didn't exist. Like, yeah, there's some game called Quick Jump, It's a Snake, they said it was called. And then he went, and he's like, I didn't see it there. They're like, oh, it was broken. They had, you know, like. And it's like, yeah, when I played Quick Jump, It's a Snake, it's back again. I played it. It was great. And then kid's like, yeah, I couldn't find it. Like, what, did you check back by the pro shop? No. Oh, yeah, that's where it is, back there. Oh, okay. So they're just, like, wasting every, like. But I've had that done to me, too. I remember going to, like, this one kid was like, yeah, I got these Star Wars action figures. And I was like, wow, I'd like to get those. Where'd you get them? Oh, the store here. I got to tell my mommy, and she takes me there. And they're like, well, I don't, we've never had that. We don't know what you're talking about. No, it's the Star Wars action figures. Yeah, no, we are aware of what Star Wars is. And we know what action figures are. We don't have those, though. Well, you have to. The one kid got them here. Yeah, he didn't. He's lying. It's always weird, those kids, those bald-faced liar kids, when you're young. And just going along with it, just like kind of not just saying like, come on, just don't. Let's not waste this kid's time. Let's not jerk him around, huh? Just like letting that roll by. That's not great. Those are the things you hope as you get older, you learn to just be like, eh, that's not. This is not exactly comedy here. We're kind of just jerking this kid around. 201-332-3484. And yeah, look, I get the thing with pranks. I don't like pranks so much anymore. I don't know. You always got to be holding yourself to some kind of. You got to be somewhat self-reflective and think about things. Push yourself. Make sure you're not just your opinions aren't just atrophying. So I saw Monster Magnet the other night, went to see them at the Starland Ballroom in Sayreville, New Jersey, and this place is spectacular. The Starland Ballroom. It's the kind of place where there's the show, doors open at like 6. And when the main band goes on at like 10:45. So it's just nonstop bands. And this place has no like no consistency to the bills. It's like anybody play. And look, I know venues have all different sorts of places of people playing them. Like Morbid Angel is playing there in 2 weeks. 4 opening acts. The Darkness are playing there. Yeah, look at this. Louis DeVito's third annual NYC Underground Classics Party. New Jersey Veg Fest? Is it 21 Savage? Oh, this is where Jake Paul is playing. And suddenly this place ain't so bad. The guy from Queensryche, Jeff Tate, he's touring by himself, I guess. This place just has everybody. It has Rodney Atkins and Jake Paul and Morbid Angel. It's so cool Jake Paul's going to play that place. We should go, Mike.
Yeah.
Me and you. Right? Yeah, 2 for Jake Paul. Are you someone's dad in the thing? No, we're just fans. It's every day, bro. It's every, like, if we go way up front, it's every day, bro. It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro. Puts Jake Paul puts the mic in front of Mike's face. I said it's every day, bro. It's every day, bro, with the Disney Channel flow. 201-332-3484. So yeah, so it was great, but the band was great. They are. So good. Monster Magnet are so good now. They've been around for a long time. This version of the band is so great. Dave is fit and strong, and his voice is strong, and he looks great. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like this guy went back to work. He got back to it. Like, hey man, there's work to be done. I'm here to work. So he's working. Yeah, unbelievable. It was actually inspiring to see how good they were for how long he's been doing it. And I might have been, seriously, the only person in the entire place, the only guy in the entire place, I'll say, that did not have a rock t-shirt on. I might have been the only guy there who did not have a t-shirt with a band on it. And that is some crowd comes out for those things, man. There's like an underbelly in New Jersey of just metal fans. I don't know where they go. If they go crawl back into the, like, if they're like chuds, right? The chuds come out. They hear there's a metal bill. They kind of come on out. You know, some of the chuds are listening from under the Starland Ballroom. They just stay under. They're not even going to come up to mix with us, the land dwellers. These chuds like staying below ground. They can hear the band just fine through the vibrations. So, we're watching the show, me and lady friend, Terry T, and we're watching, and then there's these two chowder heads, like, shoving each other. Like, look, they were having fun. They were having fun. I'm not putting them down too much. But when the one guy took his bottle of water and started pouring it on his own head, that was one thing. There's another thing was he was wearing a ski cap. You're just getting your ski cap wet. And then he shook it all around. It's like, there is a version of watching this that you don't have to do that to have a good time with it. You want to throw your arms around your buddy and rock out and have a good time? Yeah, sure, you're bumping me, and I know you think it's funny because you know there's two of you and there's one of me and you're bigger than me. And you guys are both have sleeveless shirts, and it's a challenge to me to see if I'll stand up to you. That's fine. I'm not going to challenge you. What are we gonna, all right, stop shoving me. All right, let's fight. Is that really what you think I'm going to do? Let's fight. No, I don't care. You're shoving me. I'll take a step. I'll take three feet over. Now you're not shoving me so much. And if that lowers me in your eyes, you're that guy, we were shoving him and then he took a step over. What a real weakling. He didn't want to fight us. I don't think they wanted to fight it. I just think they might have just been dumb. You don't have to pour water on your ski cap and shake it all over. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom. This is James out in Brooklyn. How are you?
Good, James. Good. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. I just got home from work. I'm a little tired, but I wanted to call. Because
you have e-cigarettes for legs. I got them.
No. I was out at the show at Music Hall Williamsburg, the Monster Baggage show.
How was that?
It was good. They were great. The sound technician was not that great. In the beginning, it took him a while to kind of get the levels right, but, you know, Dave Windorf and crew carried it anyway. The crowd loved them.
Yeah, they're great, right?
He's a kind of a consummate small time rock star. And I don't mean that to be insulting. I'm saying, like, you know, he definitely came across as like a big rock star in a small venue, you know. He can hold himself with the best.
Guy's got a platinum album.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying
Nah, that's fine. You know, look, I know what you mean. Look, the guy's a lifer is what it is.
Yeah,
the guy's
exactly.
No matter where he's playing, he's going to bring it at a certain level, and that's that.
And he looked good up there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a consummate rocker, for sure. You're right. He's a lifer.
Yeah.
And I would easily go see them again. I recommend all your listeners to go see them.
There you go.
Give an opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Have a good
small time. Well, what are you? What are you, big time? Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Lori.
Oh, my goodness. As I live and breathe. I swear to you. This is what I'm going to say. I swear, last week, I thought about you for more than a half hour.
Oh, my God. That's so sweet of you to say.
Because I was saying, who was the worst call? No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
No, I was wondering. I was saying, I have not heard from Lori in Miami for so long, and I wonder how she's doing. And I was looking for an email address for you, and I did not have one.
Oh, my God. I was actually trying to get in touch with you via Twitter. I sent you a tweet. I don't know if you saw it, and I have blow my own horn, toot my own horn, or brag about it, but I'm in the same town as someone you know, and I'm Facebook friends with him, so I sent him a message on Facebook just to reach out, but I'm just calling to, because I'm ready to call. I was a little bummed out by my haters, but I have more self-esteem and confidence now, and I've learned the lesson. Not everyone is going to like you, and it's an important lesson to learn. So
Lori,
I'm ready to listen and call again. I have some great memories from the show, and I've made friends. People I've been friends with and care about, you know, mm-hmm. for like, 10 years?
Well, Lori, you know what? What you just said is so smart, because what it comes down to is, and I'll say this, I give you an infinite amount of credit. You were not having a good time with the thing,
mm-hmm.
so you stepped away from the thing.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta, that's it. That's what all, you just did. This is not fitting mm-hmm. right now, so I'm removing myself from the equation.
Yeah, like, I'm a different person than I was when I was 25. I'm not ready to wear the best person stash or whatever. There are other ways I can improve myself, but, you know, I'm happier with who I am and what I'm doing, and that's all I got to say about that. And
You don't have to belabor anything. You're here.
Right.
That's all that matters. You're here right now. I'm glad to hear your voice. That is literally all that matters. Nothing in the past does not matter. All that matters is today and tomorrow.
And maybe next week. If you follow me on Twitter, send me a DM, and I'll give you an email address, and we can chat.
That sounds good. Well, I'm glad to hear from you. This makes my night.
Yeah. There is one more thing I just wanted to say. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but my dad passed in January.
Yes, that's what
and
I was
I'm
about.
Actually
that's what I was going to write you about.
Don't say anything. I'm doing better. Yeah, I'm with the grieving process, but I wanted to thank you because at one time I was in the studio, you convinced me to let you call Dottie.
Yes, because we would joke. We would joke about your father, and we call I referred to him as Dottie.
Yes. So. For new listeners who might not have caught up with the archives, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you were in the studio, we called him.
Yeah.
And he was on the show.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny when he was on the show. It was a nice
time. It was.
Yes. And he seemed to have a good time.
Yeah, I did. I don't know for sure. Because, it was kind of a weird time in his life, a transitional stage. He was doing pretty okay then, come to think of it. It wasn't until, 2011 that he got sick. But, I'm keeping it positive.
Yes.
So, it's best that he has passed because he was not doing well. And he's at rest now, so... grieving's hard, but it's a good thing that he's at rest now. So, I think he didn't get a chuckle out of it and enjoy it. And I don't have any recordings of his voice, so I'm trying to track down that episode. Someone gave me a link from the episode it might be on, but I want to share it with my family because I don't have any recordings of his voice, and the fact that I'll be able to hear his voice again, I'm trying to tear up. It means literally I'm maybe misusing literally, but figuratively, it means a lot to me. It means the world to me, okay?
Well, good.
And I look forward to with finding it and listening to that again and hearing his voice. I'll probably cry, but, it will be good to have, and I'm so lucky and blessed to have that. So, thank you.
Absolutely, and we are lucky you're lucky to have the people that you have in your life when you have them. And that does not go away. Even if they are not here, all that other stuff does not go away.
Yeah, and even though he was sick, I really got a gift from him in the last days of his life that I'm not going to go into detail about because it's personal, but it's something I cherish. So I had some real good moments with him, even though he was sick. So,
all you can ask for, in a way.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I said that's all you can ask for.
It's all I can ask for. And also, I'm having lunch with a fox tomorrow. So, how's that for making lifelong friends through your show?
Good. Who's in town that knows? Who do I know?
No, he lives here. And we used to hang out, but, I was sort of a I was struggling with social anxiety and not getting out.
You don't have to. Don't worry.
We're checking in and catching up, and maybe I'm hoping we can maybe go see Superchunk together because they're on tour, right?
Yes, they are.
Yes. Buy tickets if they're coming to your town, everyone, because it's always a good show.
That's right. All right, Lori, this is great. I'm so glad this makes my night and then some.
Oh, my God. That is so sweet, and you are making me feel so great right now, and, I kind of needed it.
Well,
thank you. I'm glad I called.
We'll talk to you soon. You take care.
Talk soon. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. How about that, Mike? Blast from the past. Because get this. Who do I run into at the Monster Magnet show, Mike? Officer Tom. Yeah. This guy looks literally the same. Yeah, no, who knows where that guy is? Purple shirt. I don't know. Like, the past only goes so far back. No. Officer Tom was there. He's doing good. Yeah. It was great to see him. He's been working on a case. It's this guy who's a peeper and he steals clothes off laundry lines. And he's been operating in actually this a town not a town it's this town Bayonne he's been in. And he said he's going to catch him. He's getting closer. He almost caught him. He said he almost caught him at the green quick check. Then he escaped. Lori from Miami. How about that? Best show, hi.
Hi, this is Juan from Mexico City.
Who's this now?
Juan from Mexico City.
Juan from Mexico City. How are you, Juan?
I'm very well. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. What time is it in Mexico City right now?
It's 10 to 10.
10 to 10. Really? So it's only an hour difference from here.
Yeah.
For some reason, yeah. I thought it
what
was...
What time is it there?
It's 10 to 11.
Oh. Well, there you go. I have one for the topic.
Let's hear it. What do you got?
My belief is that stand-up comedy is over. It's over. It's from another time. Comedy is going to live on in another medium, and we don't know what it is.
That's a very interesting take on things, Juan. What leads you, what is the tipping point with stand-up comedy to where you're like, this is done?
I think watching The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling,
mm-hmm.
The worst thing the guy put out, the thing that doesn't live on, is his stand-up comedy. And that's what his life was about for like 12 years.
Yeah.
No, and those jokes are lame.
He was a subpar stand-up.
He was funnier than those jokes, sorry.
Yeah, he was a subpar stand-up comic, and the people have to be honest and admit. He wasn't even subpar. He was old-fashioned. It's like Robert Klein.
Yeah, but too much. Because the thing is, I was watching the documentary, and I was like, okay, I'm going to give him a break. It's the 70s. But the thing is, there wasn't any way he could have done any other kind of jokes. Because he had to do jokes for bars, for people that don't like comedy.
Yeah. No, it's a challenge with that kind of stand-up where you're trying to reach everybody all of a sudden.
Yeah, you have a guy who had a great mind like Gary Shandling, and he's wasting time wondering how his lips look, how his clothes look, how his hair looks. It doesn't matter for comedy, but it's because stand-up comedy is the way it is that he has to waste time and he didn't, I don't know. That's my topic. Oh, thank you, Tom.
Very good. I appreciate the call, Juan. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, I love you. Bye.
You have a great night. I love you, too. Yeah, look, this Gary Shandling, you couldn't pay me to watch that documentary. First of all, how long is that thing? Over 4 hours. Could you imagine? Because here are my problems with this guy. Was he incredibly funny? Yeah, he was. Larry Sanders, that's a perfect show. The other show, not so much. People are a little hopeful that was a better idea than a thing. You could try watching that first show. Look, he was not nice to, I have people in my life who he was not nice to, people who worked with him. He was legitimately not nice to. And there are a few of them. Same stories, not nice. Like, mean. Seems like a kiss-up, kick-down kind of guy. Right? Kiss-up and kick-down. Doesn't matter who's above you. They have to be great. That was when he's going to tell... I'm telling you about truth. Oh, really? You're telling me... What if I start telling you about stuff? You're going to want to hear it? Does this guy want to hear it back? That one time he got into that thing with Ricky, Ricky Gervais. Oh. It's a two-way tie for last. Watch those two heavyweights battle it out. Just wish the ground would open up and swallow them both up. Get them out of here. Look, the guy was one perfect show, so he did one perfect show. That's more than most people. Not a great guy. And then also, I tweeted the guy. And look, I don't care about this, really. I'm saying this is an example of who he is. I tweet at him. Because he's like answering people's questions about the show and stuff. And I send this tweet. And I've asked people who've written on this show if they thought this was a good question. And they thought this was... The people who literally wrote on Larry Sanders' show thought this was a good question. It's like, do you think that Artie... Remember Artie, Mike? I asked him, do you think that Artie thought... Larry Sanders was funny, or was he just there to defend Larry Sanders? Was he just a soldier for Larry Sanders? Which, if you watch the show, as I had just watched all of them again when I wrote to him, you never see Artie laugh at anything Larry says. Never laughs at the show. He smiles. He bangs his rolled up script in his hand. He's never laughing. I don't know if Artie thought Larry was funny. So that's what I asked the guy. And he takes it, it's whatever demented state of mind he was in. He takes it, I'm saying something, he's not funny or something. It's like, he starts going after me and fine, get lost. Hypersensitive. Look, yeah, so he's like the Don McLean of comedy. Larry Sanders was his American Pie. That's it. Good for him. We all like American Pie. We all like Larry Sanders. Look, it wasn't a perfect show. I'll admit it. And it's not even perfect. If you watch him in a row, the ego starts to seep in a little bit. Where he has, like, Sean Penn on talking about Gary Shandling. Like, what? You could not make it. Had to play with the margins of reality. God forbid anybody know you. It wasn't you back there. Look, but this movie, everybody, oh, it's a great movie. Good. Enjoy it. Hey, if the guy's your hero, I hope it makes your year better, the movie. I wish nothing but the best for all of you. You watch the 5.5 hours of this thing, you're laughing it up. Does it have stuff with what planet are you from? One of the few movies I've walked out of in my life. I walked out of that and Beastmaster. I was sitting in the theater watching that thing. I saw it in the theater. What planet are you from? I'm like, yeah, I'm out of here. This sucks. And I said, I watched The Animal in the theater. I watched all of The Animal. I did not. I made it to the end of the Rob Schneider movie in a theater. And what planet are you from? I'm like, yeah, I can't do this. I got somewhere else to be. So look, did the guy do one perfect show? Yes, of course he did. It's not perfect, but it's almost. It's as close to perfect as you're going to get. So he gets an infinite credit for that. The other show, not so much. The stand-up, definitely not so much. Was he mean to people I actually know in my actual life? Yes, he was. Was he weird on Twitter to me? Yeah. Does that make it so I have to say wish ill on the guy's legacy? No, I don't. But I also don't want to sit there for 4.5 hours and watch this guy get canonized. Right? Did you watch it, Mike? You watched it? All of it? And did it make him seem like a great guy? Yeah, I'm on the other guy's side with the lawsuit. Yeah. Guy. Gonna do this for 20 years, he did nothing. He did What Planet Are You From? And he was in Iron Man 2. And then he just told everybody what to do. The what? A boxer. Yeah. Yeah, Zen Buddhist screaming at me on Twitter. Real Zen. God bless you. God bless you. Best Show, hi.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Am I on?
You are. Who's this?
Oh, this is Frank.
Frank. Where are you calling from, Frank?
Yeah. North Carolina.
Frank from North Carolina. What's going on tonight, Frank?
Well, it's funny. I was just listening to you talk about how much you like the Larry Sanders Show and how much you hated Beastmaster that you walked out. And now I'm just thinking about Rip Torn.
Why, was he in Beastmaster?
He was.
I might not have
he was like
that
an evil far. Priest. Boy, you walked out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I walked out on? My e-cigarettes for life. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. I got
you. First time caller. Swear.
You bum. I got you, you bum.
I mean, I kind of like that you were accusing me of that. Just from being a listener.
Let me just say this first of all. Someone said to me, or I saw something, somebody's like, oh, I think Tom's going nuts with the eat. It's like, that guy can call 10 times a show. Are you kidding? You don't think I wish he'd call instead of this guy who's on right now? I'm okay. Did I phrase that incorrectly? I'm just trying to say that some of the callers are like some drip calling up talking about ripped. Okay, I'm phrasing.
Well, no, I just heard you correctly. Say it. That's why I took my earbud out because
you don't think I wish the e-cigarettes guy would call instead of this guy? Again, that sounded terrible. I apologize.
It did to me.
It's coming out the wrong way, my friend. So, Frank, you said Frank?
Yes.
Where in North Carolina are you, Frank?
Technically, I am in Carrboro.
Are you a Tar Heel or a Blue Devil?
I don't care.
That's the right answer.
That's
the right
thing
answer.
I have to put up with.
You're an adult. As you say, I'm an adult. I got things to do. I got to go cheer a 19-year-old on, right?
Yeah, I got things to do. And now the street's shut down because somebody won a basketball
exactly.
game.
Yeah, you're trying to go get a slice over at IP3. Now you can't even go get a slice because you're worried a Rasheed Wallace jersey's going to fall on your head.
Yeah, they shut the whole thing down. Terrible.
Yeah, so what's up, Frank? What else?
Well, I just called in because you guys wanted some calls, and I was... Someone called about their birthday. It's my birthday today, so I figured I'd call in.
Today's your birthday. Happy birthday, Frank. Well,
thank you.
What did you do for your birthday?
I just went to work. Same old.
This is what I would say. Not to say that I know your neighborhood, but I'd say get out on Franklin, right?
Maybe, yeah, that's the treat that
maybe
I avoid.
Swing by Jimmy John's.
Oh, the local Jimmy John's, of course.
Don't be afraid to grab a hot cup of coffee over at Caribou Coffee.
You know the area.
Then for breakfast, you can go to that biscuit drive-thru place that they filmed a scene from Dirty Grandpa at.
They did?
Yeah, Bad Grandpa. Which one is it now? Which
I don't
one
know. There's
is
one
it,
with De Niro, and there's one with Knoxville. I don't know which one's which.
See, this is what we need to do. You know how they have Freddy versus Jason, and they have all these things? They got to have...
Bad Grandpa versus Dirty Grandpa.
Why would you jump the gun on that? Ugh! It's my thought.
Sorry.
It's my thought. Look, it's your birthday. I'm going to ease up on you. It's the guy.
I appreciate
birthday.
That.
I'm going to ease up on the guy. Sure. I was the one who came up with the thought, and this guy, look, it didn't take a rocket scientist to just close out my thought the way you just did. The trick was coming up with the thought. That was the trick. They should make, but you, They should make a movie. Who cares now? Get off my phone. They should make a movie. It doesn't matter. You know what does matter? This new single by the Trash Monkeys.
I had a dream, a sliver of force, and taking all the puppies from the earth. I shed a tear at this terrible thought.
Yeah. Royal Trucks here on the best show. S.O. Dame, that's from the first album. Fat Possum reissuing all the Royal Trucks records. Love it. Love it. And we just heard before that, Trash Monkeys, a single on Almost Ready Records, the great label out of Brooklyn. That song's called Puppies, Puppies, Puppies. And this band, Trash Monkeys, I don't know what the deal is with them. I gotta find out. Single's good, though. Single's really good. Almost Ready Records, great label. And I send that out to Good and Poochie, my dog. Good and Poochie. A dog that today we were... was throwing her snacks, and she was catching them out of the air. What were the snacks? That's right, Brussels sprouts. You ever see a dog eat Brussels sprouts, Mike? Yeah, well, I'll bring a Good and Poochie by. Lori from Miami, Officer Tom. Wow. Love it. It's like the Expendables up in this piece. People coming back to take what's theirs. Best show, hi. Hello, hi.
Best show, hi.
Hey.
Hello, best show, hi.
Turn your thing down. Come on.
Hey. Hello, best show, hi. Turn your thing down. Come on.
Hello.
Best show, hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Dummy, now shut your thing off, okay? Get off my phone. What are you, Lamont Young? I'm up in here, right? Was this the Theater of Eternal Music? Right? Right, Mike? What, you got Tony Conrad up in here? No. Wait, you trying to get signed? You get Richard Younger? Right? No. This ain't that. Best show, hi. Hello, hi. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
It's me.
It is you. Hi.
It's me. Sorry.
What's up?
Hi, this is Ben.
Hi, Ben. Where are you calling from?
Seattle.
What's up in Seattle tonight, Ben?
Not much. My kids just fell asleep, so I was listening to the show and thought I'd call in because I had a funny story for you today.
Let's hear it. What's the deal with your kids? Good? Are they good?
Some of the time.
Drive you a little nuts though, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, they're obviously they're the best, but they're also...
Well, obviously the best. I don't know that. Obviously, I mean, they're the best. Says who? You have to say that. Obviously, they're the best.
But, yeah, they can drive me nuts sometimes.
There's got to be times where you just want to go like, come on, guys. Zip it. Right?
It doesn't work. I've tried.
This is what you got to tell these kids. If they're driving you nuts, like what did you do Easter at your house?
We did Passover.
You did Passover. So yeah. No Easter bunny rolling around.
Well, they got lots of Easter candy, sure. But it wasn't...
Well, you know the Easter bunny's not a part of, like, you know that's not actually a part of Christianity. You're aware that's there for everybody.
Yeah, but I'm a little aware it's kind of like the gateway into that. I, you know, I keep them away from...
There's no way that's a gateway into Christianity. You're nuts. The gateway, the Easter bunny. It begins and ends with a rabbit shows up and drops candy in you. The kids, they tune the thing out as soon as they see the candy.
Well, they did go to an egg hunt.
Yeah, okay. Well, why? That's closer to... Well, all right. So you don't... You're worried that some of you are going to turn around, your kid's going to be doing a morning mass all of a sudden in your house. Yeah. Cause you got a chocolate rabbit.
You can't be too careful. You have to keep an eye out. They talk about Santa all the time. They want Christmas, and it's you know.
But again, you realize there's a path. There's got to be some kind of pathway that you could squeeze something that has nothing to do with the religious aspect of Christmas into things. You could make, look, your dad make up a story about how Santa rolls in and gives stuff to the chosen people once in a while.
Totally. Right? Yeah, it's a balancing act. You know, it's like some things are like, all right, you can have the chocolate eggs, but no, we're not going to tell you about the bunnies. And then you can know about Santa, but no, there's no tree. Like you go up to the line, but and well, you're making up what the line is anyway. So it's a balancing
saying.
Act.
You're making up what the line. Say yeah. Say Easter Bunny rolls in. He brings chocolate for everybody. Doesn't matter what religion they are. But we don't believe in Easter. But the Easter Bunny likes to drop candy off for kids that are good. You could have swung that, Dad. Come on.
Look, things are tough.
But I get it.
Stories about the bunny.
Look, of course they're the greatest.
They just don't get the bunny.
Of course, yeah. Of course the kids are the greatest. Of course they're the best. I don't know. Clearly, if you thought you were the best, you might be drumming up a couple tails to get some chocolate in the house.
No, they got a lot of candy. They got chocolate-covered matzah, too. So everybody was happy.
Is that good?
It's good.
I've never had it.
It's good.
Chocolate-covered matzah is good?
Yeah, it's the caramel and...
Yeah, it's a Twix bar.
I don't know if it's kosher.
That sounds like you're talking about a Twix bar.
Yeah, I love Twix, too. That is my... That's my favorite.
Well, how far away is a Twix bar from chocolate-covered matzah if you're dropping caramel on that thing?
Well, Twix are better. But
yeah, because they're straight up garbage. That's why they're going to be better than something that's being used for religious purposes.
Yeah.
So a chocolate covered matzah is pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not Twix, but yeah, no, it's pretty good. I made a whole batch of it. We put sprinkles on it. The kids loved it. Everyone, you know, it was a big hit. Passover.
All right.
Kosher.
I might have to get some chocolate covered matzah.
Yeah.
Do you get the cheap candy yet, Mike? Over at Arthur Reynolds. What's it called again? Al Richards. Al Richards is the candy store. Our friend Justin from Sunshine in the Rain and Black Hollies is a chocolatier there. And they have the candy, the Easter candy, the day after they sell it. And Mike rolls in there, and he brings it in here. He's like, I got candy for everyone. He gets this guy spiced jelly beans.
Ugh.
Right? Yeah, it's all that's left. Spice. They see Mike come and they break out the spiced jelly beans. They put the good stuff away. They're like, yeah, this guy will buy the spiced jelly beans. They throw a tarp over the other stuff that they're trying to unload. They're like, look, we'll never get rid of these spiced jelly beans. This guy will buy them. So, they didn't do it. Look, I went out of my way. I brought him a 48-pack thing of Kirkland Light. The beer of champions. The beer that it's Costco saying, yeah, we make beer. We make beer now too. We don't just sell beer. We make beer. So go ahead, Ben. You were saying what?
Yeah. So I was getting my haircut today and I really dislike getting my haircut. Just cause I get bored and, you have to make chit-chat with the guy cutting your hair or woman cutting your hair. And he was really into music and really into the Seattle music scene. He had a lot to say about it. And,
mm-hmm.
But I'm also, I feel like I'm very similar to you, Tom. You talk a lot about you talk a lot about where you get out of situations by trying to over explain things or try and ingratiate yourself with people, right?
Yep.
So I find myself, all I want to do is for this haircut to be over.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I still feel the need to try to make him, I don't know. I feel like it seems like I need to engage and let him know that I really appreciate how much he's into music without just telling him, look, I'm not into music, but I'm really happy you are. So I start.
I'm not into music, but I'm really happy that you are. That might be the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm not into music. I'm very happy that you are. So what's he talking about? Hey, you check out this Soundgarden demos, Seattle?
So,
Macklemore?
I started just aping you 100%. He started talking about, so the Grateful Dead came on weirdly over the radio,
mm-hmm.
and he started talking about, he's like, oh, I hate Bob Weir. And I was like, you know, I don't really have an opinion because I just don't listen to them. But I do listen to you, and I know exactly what you, so I started in on a monologue about how the Grateful Dead were the worst and Pigpen and the whole thing. I was like, what am I doing?
Then you have no idea if it's accurate.
Exactly.
But this is what you're doing to the person cutting your hair.
And I was talking about the sound. I mean, I was basically, all I know from Pigpen is the sound collages and Andy Kindler. And then we started talking about, what was the next thing we started talking about? Oh, the Beatles. And he said, oh, yeah, George Harrison is my favorite Beatle. And I'm like, and I said, I swear to you, I said this. I said, I know that album that he released just after he left the Beatles.
You're not even sure what the name is.
It's All Things Must Pass, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I've never heard one track off of it in my life. And I said, that's an amazing album. Just I don't know what it was. And, I realized that was, I don't know, anyway.
You've never heard one song from that album.
Was that the one that had the Hare Krishna? I've heard the Hare Krishna song.
You mean My Sweet Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. That's on it.
I know that song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally it.
Okay, well.
And
so you did that. You're playing with fire, throwing out hot takes while you're getting your hair cut. You're going to irk the person cutting your hair. They're going to show you, they're going to teach you a lesson.
Yeah. Well, he said he wasn't a fan of the Grateful Dead. He had stories about how he knew people who were, you know, who worked the concerts at Marymore Park in Redmond who didn't like them either. And so I was like, oh, yeah, the Grateful Dead are the worst, blah, 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 blah. I launched into my Tom, you know.
What do you think of this guy, Mike? What's that? He's phony. Mike said you're a phony.
What?
Wait, I'm more shocked you're taking offense that Mike's calling you a phony. Everything you've said is phony.
But to that guy, to the haircut guy.
To that guy. Yeah. Mike's flying in for a haircut now. Mike's got a new salon he's going to go to, Seattle. And he said he's going to expose you as a phony next time you get a haircut.
No.
You're gonna get taught a lesson.
I can see it. Like, he's like some cool music guys. They're probably like, listen to the best show. And he's like, he gets me in the chair. He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard you.
Yeah. Right? Give you the Richard Spencer. That,
no,
cut.
He'll
that cut.
He'll put a hot towel and trick
John
my head.
John Early. Right? They put a hot towel on your head?
Yeah.
Look, my friend, you got some work to do on yourself.
Right.
And for and on yourself and for the good of your family. I salute you, though. What if you don't like music, what do you like?
Oh, no, I like music. I'm very lightly, like, there's a few artists I really love. And
like who? Who do you love?
Like John Prine is probably my favorite.
Sure. You ever hear that one John Prine song that goes, there's a hole in daddy's arm where the money used to go? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Sam Stone. It's a great song.
Yeah. Who else do you like?
I do like a lot of Dylan. Uh-huh. I've been listening to,
you should play, there's an album you should play for your kids. Introduce them to Bob. There's three albums you should turn your kids on to. Slow Train Coming, Shot of Love, and Saved.
Shot Portrait.
I want you. No. I want you to play those three songs, those three albums for your kids. Do you know those albums?
Yeah. I somewhat. I played them once and then was like, oh, not for me.
Yeah, but, you should play them for your kids because you're in a panic that if Santa shows up, your kids gonna somehow your kid's gonna become a reverend. play the Born Again albums for your kids. No, I'm kidding.
I like White Mystery now.
Yeah, they're good, right?
They're great. They're rocking.
What's your favorite Bob Dylan song of all time?
Probably Tangled Up in Blue. Mm,
that's not right. That's wrong.
I mean, no.
I don't know. In my life, I feel like that album does not speak to me for whatever reason. I get why that album is great. Doesn't speak to me. 65
is there any Bob Dylan that speaks to you?
Yeah, of course. The 65 to 66 is the greatest run anybody ever had. Except for Yours Truly. 2000 to 2018. That's my
right on.
That's my 65 to 66, but it's 18 years.
That's
I would high five you if I was there. That's right on.
Thank you, my friend. I salute you doubly now. You have a great night, seriously.
You too.
Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, it's Brad from Portland.
Ben?
Brad. Avery, one of the barking champs.
Oh, hey, Brad, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Tom?
Good, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Most people don't ask.
Well, you know, I'm a kind guy.
Yes, you are, Brad. That's what everyone says.
Actually, I was, Mike told me the topic about an hour ago, and I kind of forgot what it was, but I had an answer locked and loaded.
Okay.
I think it was like, not hottest hot streak, but like the guy who has got something going and the guy who's got something not going, basically.
Wait, what is Mike telling you?
I don't know.
Mike, what did you tell this guy? Yeah, this guy's trying to set you up. You're trying to make Mike sound like a boob.
I'm not. I love Mike.
It's on you to know what the topic is, my friend. It's not on Mike to tell you.
Well, I know. Anyway, what I was going to say is it's like my picks for this phantom topic were best thing going.
There's no phantom topic, though. There's no phantom topic tonight. There is an ironclad topic.
Just because you're
pulling up from the rear here and aren't up to speed, it's not my fault or Mike's fault. Come on, Brad. You're a nice guy.
Yeah, I got Avery here. You want to hear her bark?
Sure. That's the refuge. It's like the refuge of the scoundrel. Want to hear my dog bark?
It's like the
this call's not, this call's not going well. Hey, you want to hear my dog bark? And you know I'm just going to be like, yeah, of course. Let's hear it.
Yeah. You want to hear it? All right. Here comes Avery barking.
It's going to be e-cigarettes.
Avery. I got her out of her sleep. Avery. There we go.
There we go. That's good. One more good bark. Come on.
One more good bark? Okay. Avery, one more good bark. All right, who is it?
Very good. Very good. I love it.
Yeah, we appreciated your donation to the Pongo Fund here in Portland, by the way.
Yes. Best show walks the walk. We say we're going to give money, we give money.
You walk the walk, you talk the talk.
Well, we always talk the talk, but I want you to know we do walk the walk, though, because some people don't walk the walk in life.
Anyways, Mike said something around the topic, and he said, you got one locked, and I said, I went locked and loaded. I've been listening to a lot of the Ditch Trilogy, Neil Young.
Uh-huh.
And I've been thinking a lot about that. And he said something along the lines of, what's hot, what's not. Let's put in a lot of words.
Mike said nothing of the sort, Omer. What's hot, what's not.
Hello?
I think I might have said that for him, but not for me. I don't think I should say that for him.
He's your friend, right?
What do I can't even answer that, man. I mean, you know, I mean, Johnny Cash has been, I've heard Johnny Cash since I was a kid.
Right, but things have changed.
His music hasn't changed, man. I mean, I still listen to,
Cash down that much, man. I'm saying at the time that...
You're here with Doug, filling in on Beatle Talk today. The topic today, I also want to say best wishes to Denny, who is recovering from arm surgery. We hope he gets better. Talking all things Beatles all night long. Very exciting. Ringo Starr was knighted, as we all know. The topic, though, for tonight's show, continuing on. If a member of the Beatles could have been a part of any moment in history, what would you have liked to see? If a Beatle could be a part of any moment in history, for example, maybe you'd want to see George Harrison at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Or perhaps Ringo Starr at the Battle of Appomattox. The number 201-332-3484, Beatles Talk. Filling in for Denny Wilcox, who's recovering from arm surgery. Also, still trying to get your favorites from the Ringo album. Everybody's talking about Give More Love, the latest album from the newly knighted Sir Ringo Starr. So please, call in with your favorites. I have to say, Ringo's new album, Give More Love, I'm preferential to King of the Kingdom, the song he wrote with Van Dyke Parks. And I have to say, Ringo's songwriting, this is definitely one of the best things Ringo's ever done. 201-332-3484, Beatles Talk. The topic is, if any of the Beatles could have been in any moment in history, what would you like to see? I'm getting a text here saying, actually, this is from Denny. Oh, this is exciting. Denny's saying he would want to see John Lennon as a juror at the Lindbergh baby kidnapping trial, which is very interesting. We also were very excited. Everybody's all abuzz now. There's a book coming out that is about the Beatles. There's not enough books about the Beatles. That's one thing. If I hear anybody say anything about the Beatles, I wish there was more things I could read about them is the first thing they say. And thankfully, there's a new book coming out called The Cutting Edge by Leslie Cavendish, the story of the Beatles hairdresser who defined an era. And that's coming out very shortly. And we all are very excited about the new mug, which is coming. It's going to be released next Thursday. There's going to be a Yellow Submarine mug being released, which the Beatles fan community is abuzz for the new mug. Is this call good? Welcome to Beatles Talk.
Hey, Doug, this is Fred in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Hey, Fred, how are you tonight?
I'm doing really great. I just wanted to first, before we get started, I want to say you're doing a really great job filling in for Denny. Denny, get well soon. We're all thinking about you.
We're thinking about him, and we're thinking about his arm.
Man, we really are. I do want to say, I wanted to ask you, before I do have something for the topic, but I did want to ask you first, how excited are you that Paul McCartney is reissuing his latest album?
He's reissuing the latest album.
Like his album New, which came out a few years ago, he's already reissuing it.
Well, that's aren't exciting, and that makes New, new.
That's great. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that one. I do want, for the topic, any moment in history, I'd really like to see Ringo Starr at the birth of Christ.
Ringo Starr at the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. I could see that happening.
I just think he would really add a lot of class. Everyone knows he is a world-class, really nice guy, and I think they probably could have used a little more of that there, too.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And are you excited about the mug?
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
Very exciting. Finally, a new Yellow Submarine mug.
I didn't think it would happen in my lifetime, but it's happening.
I'm thrilled that you're thrilled. Thanks for the call.
And hey, peace and love.
Peace and love. Again, filling in for Denny. Want to just send the best to his arm. Beatles Talk, you're on the show. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah, I was thinking about times in history where the Beatles could be.
What would you like to see?
I would like to see the Beatles around for Beatlemania, but not the Beatles, so that they could enjoy the Beatles.
Very interesting. So you wish that the Beatles had a chance to just be fans of the Beatles.
Right, because that's the biggest crime.
Well, that's interesting. Well, let me ask you this. Which Beatle do you think would be Paul's favorite Beatle?
Which would be Paul's favorite Beatle? I think it would be Paul.
You think Paul would like Paul best? How about John?
I think so.
How about John Lennon?
I think that he also likes Paul.
Interesting. Interesting. George, any insight into which Beatle would be George Harrison's favorite Beatle? If he had a chance to be a fan of the Beatles.
I think George likes Ringo, but really he likes Paul.
Interesting. Interesting. And
he'll say that he likes Ringo.
Are you excited about the mug, which is coming out next Thursday?
What's coming out next Thursday?
The new yellow submarine mug is being released.
What? No, do you have to get it on Amazon or?
It should be available everywhere you can get Beatles merchandise.
Yeah, I'm going to get that.
I'm very excited about the mug.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to say I am number 9.
Very good. I got that joke. That's great. Thank you for the
call.
Thank
you.
Okay, again, it's Beatles Talk, and we are talking about if a member of the Beatles could be at any moment in history, which moment would you have liked to see them at? I think there's something very intriguing about Paul McCartney being in attendance at the moment that a creature first crawled from the ocean. Him getting to witness that moment in evolution, I think, would be very exciting. Beatles Talk, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is the Walrus out in Brooklyn.
The Walrus, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, Doug. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. First things first, are you excited about the mug?
Very excited. I'll put it next to the mug that I currently have in my cupboard.
Great, great. And do you have something for the topic of which Beatle would you like to see at a different event in history?
Yeah, I think Ringo Starr should have been part of the Watergate break-in.
Very interesting. Which version of Ringo Starr? What? Because Ringo was around in the early 70s. Are you saying that early 70s Ringo Starr would be a part of the break-in?
Yes, with a big droopy mustache.
So you're talking about Ringo around the time of his hit albums,
Back
Ringo,
Off Boogaloo.
Back Off Boogaloo, the hit single Back Off Boogaloo, or the albums Ringo and Goodnight Vienna.
Yeah. Yes. Boku a Boop a Blues, maybe too.
Yes. Do you feel like Ringo would in any way contribute to the break-ins? Would he have added to the break-ins?
In a funny way, I think he would have been a good comedic foil to G. Gordon Liddy.
Interesting. So you could picture Ringo maybe saying, like, I'm not going to hold my hand over a candle.
Right. Just, I'd like to see him with a flashlight.
I need my hands
at the Watergate Hotel.
I need my hands for drumming.
Exactly.
Thank you for the call. Very good call, Wallace.
Thanks, Doug.
Again, this is Beatle Talk. This is Doug filling in for Denny, who just had arm surgery. And we send the best to Denny and to his arm. And hopefully he'll be back soon, but not too soon. Asking people what they think of the new mug, which is coming, the Yellow Submarine mug. It's being released next week. And the topic on the table is, if a Beatle could be at any moment in history, what moment would you want to see them at? Welcome to Beatles Talk.
Hi, Doug. This is Terry from Denver, Colorado.
Terry from Denver, Colorado. How are you tonight, Terry?
I'm doing great, and I got to say, I am so excited about the mug.
Me too. I'm excited. I don't have the mug yet. No one has the mug yet, of course. I've seen some high-resolution photos of the mug, and I'm not sure what PNG, what is that? That is
I think that's a digital format.
Yes. I saw a PNG photo of the mug. It's very dynamic, and people are going to love this mug. So,
was that on the Fab Four forum?
It was actually on a private high-level Beatles group that I'm a part of.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I'm really not allowed to say a whole lot more than that.
I think I know which one, and I'm a member too, but yes.
You understand why we're not allowed to say that. Do you have something for the topic?
I do. So the Beatle that I would love to see at a historic event would be John Lennon at the signing of the Magna Carta.
Yes, that's a very. I can see that. I can see that. And do you feel would he sign it as well?
I think he would make it even better. I mean, the Magna Carta had such a huge influence on all medieval law and even our own American law.
But one thing it's missing, if I could interrupt, is rudimentary sketches and doodles.
Exactly. I think that would engender a kind of lively and friendly tone to the document and really spread the message of the Beatles' peace and love throughout history.
He could have drawn
law in a great way.
If we were looking at the Magna Carta now and there was a cartoon illustration of John Lennon, a self-portrait of him next to his signature, I think it would change the world.
Yeah. With a drawing of his glasses somehow embedded in there.
Yes. With a little help from his friends. Thank you.
That's
thank
right.
You for
with
the
a little
call.
Help
thank
from
you
his
for
friends.
The call. Thank you very much. Welcome to Beatles Talk. This is Doug. We're filling in for Denny, who was recovering from arm surgery. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Doug. This is Sean from Oakland.
Sean, welcome. Do you have anything for the topic tonight?
Yeah, I wish that Paul could have been at the New York mining disaster of 1941 because, quite frankly, I'd like to hear his song, his version of a song about that. I think it would be better than the Gibb Brothers' song about it.
So you feel that him being present would help him write a superior version of a song about the historical tragedy that the Gibb brothers captured in their song New York Mining Disaster 1941.
Correct. And I think that he would have, I mean, if he was there, he would have written the song before them.
So, and he might have a leg up on them in terms of details that they, because the Gibb brothers were not present for that. So Paul being on premises would give him insight into it that could be, that could add to his song.
Yes, and I would hope that in this alternate reality that the Bee Gees would still make the song, and it would be like how there was the movie, and now there's a TV show about the J. Paul Getty kidnapping.
Interesting. Very interesting. And one quick thing, are you looking forward to the mug?
I'm so excited for the mug because...
We lost him. Welcome to Beatles Talk.
Hi. I'm wondering, what about an alternate drummer for the Beatles? What about Phil Collins? And I feel like Paul could definitely have added some vocal backup on some of Phil's major hits.
So you're taking a different approach with it. You're saying when Ringo is present at, say, the Battle of Appomattox, that leaves an opening, and you're saying that Phil Collins could then join the Beatles.
Exactly, yeah. I'm proposing, like, Phil Collins as drummer rather than Ringo, and I hope that's not offensive.
Are you saying, are we talking about the young Phil Collins who was in the audience for the filming of A Hard Day's Night? We're not talking about a 13-year-old Phil Collins. You're talking about Phil Collins, No Jacket Required era.
Well, I know that he started young, so he probably had the chops at that point, too.
So if that's the case, then you're saying that, that In the Air Tonight could very well be a Beatles song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I really imagine, like, Paul's backing vocals. In the Air Tonight. Yeah.
And his bass. You picture,
oh, no.
Picture the bass that Paul would lay in on In the Air Tonight.
Yes, exactly.
It's very intriguing. And one other question. Are you excited about the mug?
Am I excited about what?
The mug. The new mug that's coming out next week. There's a yellow submarine mug coming out next week.
Oh, well, if that's included with my Beatles Talk membership tote bag, then I'm very excited.
Great. As am I. As am I. Thank you for the call. We all are excited about it.
I want you to get that in there.
Yeah, but that wasn't about their landlord. That was about something else.
I'll say that. Okay, I'll say.
He used to act in my behalf.
It wasn't about you. I didn't know.
I wasn't aware of you then.
Right, I wasn't aware of you. Okay. Throughout our conversation, the phone I copy at one point, someone came to the door and handed Dylan Spindler.
Wobegon. Out in the dirt fields and across the lake, all the farmers were out tilling the crops. And you could smell the dirt again as the farmers were out working. and they like to work to the sound of the loons, which were breeding out on the lake. They worked their plows and made quite a mess out in the fields. And between the sound of the loons singing their songs and the feel of the overalls, for which many of them were a little too tight, their minds tended to wander from this year's crop to matters a little more earthy. And we're not talking about the soil. No. Old Farmer Gary was thinking about the erotic bake off. that would be taking place in the community parking lot this weekend. All the finest bakers in Wobegon would be focusing their skills on making the most lewd and lascivious cakes and pies and confections that a filthy mind could possibly conceive of. This is Garrison Keillor, and you're listening to A Porno Home Companion, broadcasting live from a supply closet at Ultimate Massage on Route 81 in downtown St. Paul, open 24 hours a day. The erotic bake-off was the talk of the town. Ms. Luann Magandance was thrilled to debut her 7-layer cake with vanilla frosting in the shape of a male organ. This was the cake that in its wholesome form could create a line at any school fundraiser. But now Luann would be making her filthy baking debut, and she hoped to win the blue ribbon. Her primary competition was Helen Abernathy, who was hard at work making sure her boysenberry cobbler was as fresh as could possibly be. And when she decided to make two cobblers in the shape of a lady's cleavage, she was certain she would win the grand prize. And if the competitors were looking to make their creations the utmost in erotic baking, the judges were looking to make things as erotic as they could on all fronts. Good old Gus Sanderson had been the fire chief for coming on 30 years at Lake Wobegon. He never had a lot of fires to put out since people were careful with their campfires and generally kept their chimney flues clean. But the burning he struggled with was in his loins. You're listening to Garrison Keillor hosting A Porno Home Companion, broadcasting live from a supply closet at Ultimate Massage on Route 81 in downtown St. Paul. Open 24 hours a day. Press the buzzer and ask for Garrison. I should say, on a side note, things are not going well in many different ways, and this is... Let me resume the story. Old Gus saw himself as a bit of a libertine, so when he was asked to judge the erotic baking contest, he got a charge that started in his toes and ran up his body all the way to the hairs on his head. Simply put, old Gus was a sick, sick man. It took more and more for him to get his thrills these days. I should say, we will hear more from this story of the erotic bake-off. But now we're going to hear something from the Good Time Banjo Boys. It's a little bit of music. Then we'll get back to old Gus and his demented ways. This is Garrison Keillor, and you're listening to A Porno Home Companion, broadcasting live from a supply closet at Ultimate Massage on Route 81 in downtown St. Paul, open 24 hours a day. The door is locked. Press the buzzer and ask for Garrison. So old Gus wasn't sure what to do with himself in life.
But how about with God on our side? I wasn't thinking then.
I don't think I said that. I think you made that up.
I said, I made up, how about with God on your side? I said, how about that interview back in 64 with Mr. Jones of Melody Maker Magazine is what I said, you know, but I didn't,
when the person is there, and we're all there to see King Crimson, we're all there to have a good time, and this one guy, he just doesn't stop yelling, Fripp! Fripp! This is not what Robert Fripp wants to hear. So that's the story of me seeing King Crimson in concert. Best show, few more minutes left in the program. The number 201-332-3484. We're talking about the beliefs that you have. Beliefs. Once again, let me also add that the Patreon is going strong. Patreon.com/thebestshow. It's going well, but we always have to be vigilant with it and keep it going. If you're listening and you're enjoying the show and you can give anything, then please give it. Anything helps keep the show going. That's the only way the show raises money these days. No more ads.
Die.
That's what we do. So help out and you get things back at you for your generosity. We always make sure of that. 201-332-3484. That's the number. Couple calls and then we'll wrap it up. And again, the Neil Numberman posters available at MoCA this weekend, Saturday and Sunday in New York City. Swing by. Look for Neil's table. You can visit neilnumberman.com for more information. MoCA is at 639 West 46th Street between 11th and 12th Avenues. These are the posters that he had done of the best of 2017 for the best show. They're free. They're behind the table. They're hidden. They're not there on display. And you say the password toilet car to him to get a free poster while supplies last. Neil's a great artist. He's done so many things for the show over the years. Love it so much. These posters are beautiful. Get your poster. Man, no calls, huh, Mike? You got that pizza out there. How's that pizza, Mike? It's good. You ordered the cheap stuff, though, right? Pat? Middle of the road. It's not the bad one, which is Mike's good pizza. Mike likes the bad pizza and hates the good pizza. You know what? I'll end the show early. Maybe not. not even ending it early. You know a movie I watched on the weekend, Mike? I watched a couple movies. I watched There Will Be Blood, which I think is one of the greatest movies ever made. When's the last time you saw it, Mike? If you want, you should see it again. Do you have a Blu-ray player? I'll bring it in. I want you to meet my boy, AP Mike. I want you to meet AP. This is my boy. He's the call screener for the program. Oh, it's so good. Shocker, huh? Big shocker. Then I also watched the Rocky III. Hold on, let me take this call. Final call. Best show, hi.
Hi, is this Tom?
It is.
How's it going?
It's going all right. To whom am I speaking?
This is Devin in Boston.
What's up, Devin?
Not a lot. Just hanging out, listening to the very last few minutes of the best show. I missed most of it. How was the show tonight?
It was good. There was this one point where, like, late in the show, this guy called and then didn't know what was going on. That was kind of a high point. That was a high point for me.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Well, what were you doing? What were you so busy doing?
I was playing some music and doing a lot of driving.
Playing some music, doing some driving. What music were you listening to?
Sorry?
What was the music?
Just a couple buddies. My friend's solo project, playing some bass.
Sounds cool, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bye. Best show, hi.
Hey, is this Tom?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Tom, this is Steve.
Hey, Steve, where are you calling from? What?
This is Steve.
Yeah, no, where are you calling from, buddy?
Green Bay.
Green Bay. What's going on tonight?
Not much. I got one for the topic. I got a number for the topic. How many things don't I believe in anymore?
Go ahead. Give them to me, bro.
I don't know. I'm no longer comfortable with chaos. That's one of the things. I thought, you know, oh, this is great. I'm going to be the kind of guy who's comfortable with a lot of chaotic stuff going on. I'll be that kind of person, as opposed to other people who need to have things, you know, in nice, neat order. I'm done with being comfortable with chaos.
Okay, that's good. You find you need stasis for you to feel comfortable.
It's weird.
It's a point. Sometimes we get to that point where some people it's spinning around in their head like a tornado, and they want the outside to resemble the inside. Or other people want the inside of their head to and the outside to just be calm, to have a sense of stay, like being in a warm bath.
I think that's what I want. Yeah, I need some of that.
All right, so that's where you're at.
I don't know.
All right, anything else?
No, there's a bunch of them there. Right,
that's cool. Things, that was a good one, though. That's a good one.
Yeah. Keep it cool. Have a good week.
You too, buddy. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, this is Adam from Jersey.
Adam from Jersey. What's up, Adam?
Hey, I heard you mention Street Hassle before. So I'm just curious how you this is a weird way of saying this. Basically, I use Street Hassle to empty bars out.
You what?
I turn on Street Hassle, and then everyone leaves the bar.
Yeah, okay. So maybe it's not meant for the bar.
No, it's that's exactly it. You know, when there's people there that I don't really, if they put on, let's say, Beverly Hills of Weezer, you put on Street Hassle, they'll be gone by the end of that song.
Well, it's not a party song, right?
Yeah, it's a, right. It's all about Street Hassle and people.
But I'm sure if you put on, oh, you do what you want to do. You do what you can, because I love you, Suzanne. People would be dancing all over the place.
I'm curious, what are your Street Hassle songs for getting people out of bars?
I usually play, you know this thing, Wyatting? Do you know what that is?
Wyatting?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
It's a thing people do where they, in the UK, they'll play the music of Robert Wyatt in a bar.
Oh, yeah. That's a good move.
Yeah. So you can do that.
All right, Tom. I guess that's all I was really asking for.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Brent. So, Mike, the other movie I watched was Rocky III. When's the last time you saw Rocky III? Ugh. You've never seen Rocky III. Well, you should have stopped at three. Three's the second best. Yeah. Did you see Creed? Did you like Creed? Yeah, it's good. It is good. You know what, Mike? The thing is, you watch these Rocky movies, and you realize so much of them are just about Rocky struggling with Rocky. Sure, he's got the opponent, whether it be Apollo Creed or Clubber Lang or Drago or Tommy, what's his name? Mason Dixon, Mason the Line Dixon, or the Tommy Morrison character, Tommy Gunn or whatever his name was. Yeah, but that's not what, or Thunderlips, for example. But ultimately, it comes down to Rocky versus Rocky. All these movies are Rocky versus Rocky. And I saw that, and I was just like, yeah, I get it. I get it. Rocky's dealing with his own thing. And you know, aren't we all dealing with our own things, Mike? Right? Don't you think I look at this show when I say, let's go do another best show. Been doing it for a long time. I'm going to talk about belief and what you believe. And there's things I don't believe and things I do believe. But there's one thing I do believe, Mike. And you know what that is? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe, and it's not Tom versus Tom. It's Tom versus everyone. Because you know what? This is the best. This show's the best. That's what I believe. I believe this show's the best. I hear these other shows. I hear them. And look, I don't toot my own horn so much anymore. I'm finding a peaceful place. I'm actually peaceful. Not like that bum Gary Shandling. That bully. A cheap bully. Zen. Get lost. That fraudulent piece where he just gets to tell you what to do, but God forbid you tell him what to do. But every week I give my phone number out, 201-332-3484. You can tell me what to do, and I tell you what to do, which is to call and you listen, because if you want to hear the best thing, you're going to get the best thing. I've worked hard on this show for so long. I'm proud of it. We do the work. We make it happen each and every week. And there's a goal I got. And it is to make the thing different and new. And after all this time, make it the best and keep it the best. And I promise you, we will be the best. That's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You don't go anywhere. The best show. We do it each and every Tuesday till the end of time. And we'll be back with another episode next week. See you then. Patreon.com/thebestshow, apmike.bandcamp. Goodbye.